Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Open lines 248-539-9797. We are sifting through, members of the staff, sifting through the Brad Galley interview with Dusty May from a couple months ago because we couldn't watch it during a commercial break because it's like 15 minutes long. but we'll let you know what was said there that might be interesting. In the meantime, yeah, a lot of reaction coming into this. I have heard from a source and others that Dusty May is saying it's the state of college athletics that's driving him out, which is, it's just, it may be what he's telling people and it may be what he believes. I guess it can be true that a guy who really seemed to master the new world of college athletics when it comes to the portal and NIL is being driven out by something that helped carry him to a national championship. Now, if his dream was always to coach in the NBA and, you know, that's his personal deal, or if it's, you know, obviously an incredibly incredible raise in terms of the amount of money and what the NBA can afford and what college, you know, basketball and athletic departments can afford, because there is a budget and you can go over budget to a degree, but there's operating costs. And in the new world, every dollar that doesn't get spent towards players, well, that's not completely true. There's a rev share cap, but facilities are a big deal and all that stuff that goes with. It'd be interesting to see when all the reporting on this is out. I'm kind of holding off on a judgment here. Oh, but here's what is true. Sucks for Michigan. Sucks for Michigan basketball. 248-539-9797. Anything else to add before we get back to the phones?
Nope.
All right. Let's go to Bridge in Farmington Hills. You're next. Hello, Bridge.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey, I have a champ and a chump, but a quick comment on Dusty May. People putting blame on, you know, for not having the contract not signed and stuff, I don't think that would have made a big difference. You know, the worst thing would happen is that'd be a buyout, $5 million buyout, but, you know, I'm sure the Mavericks can afford $5 million if they're going to pay him $50 for the coach, you know. But anyway, so what I want to talk about is the champ. My champ is Wyndham Clark. He won under tough conditions, went wire to wire, tough competition, tough course, and had a great day. I mean, well, great in the sense that he was the best out there. My champ is the U.S. Open.
Your champ or your chump? Courses. Your chump?
Chump. Okay. Chump. The U.S. Open. All right. Champ is the Clark, Wyndham Clark. And the chump is U.S. Open because they make these courses so tough. I mean, I can understand, you know, I don't want people, the first 40 players shooting 20 under par, you know, in the first 2 days, but you can make them tough. But this was ridiculous. I mean, if you're 5 inches short of a hump on the green, you roll back 50 feet. And if you're 6 inches past the hump on the other side of the hole, you go past the green 50 feet. And it's, I don't know if that's skill or just a crapshoot. So it's just making it impossible. It's like watching a football game end with a 3-2 score, and not because there were great defenses, but because there were fumbles and offsides and drop passes and stuff like that. So that's my jump. I wish they do something about that. They always do that.
So Scott, you put on your show sheet, you got mad at the layout or the setup at Shinnecock Hill.
Yeah, I hate the way the greens are there for the same reason that Bridge was talking about. I mean, it's a real balancing act. And is it skill? Is it luck? It's both. I mean, obviously you have to have the skill to be able to, because you know, you're playing enough rounds there where by the final round, you know that there are only certain flat parts on those greens and you have to hit a very small target to get it there. At the same time, it also feels like there's a tremendous amount of luck. Because the wind is howling off the ocean there, and I don't know. It's not that style of course is not my cup of tea. I don't love that style of course. You know, more of that link style. It's more like a European type course with that. And you know, they grow out the rough just to be as punitive as they can. And you know, I get it. They want it to be the toughest course conditions you can be, and it's a real testament to who the best golfer in the world might be at that time. And that's great, but I still want to see guys go out there and be able to score. And you can see some great shots. There's no question, some great shots, but they're overshadowed by these shots that look like they're great, and then they're not because they just continue to roll and roll and roll and roll, and then you find yourselves 100 yards away from the hole on a shot where you started off 150 yards away from the hole. It's just some of it's fine and entertaining, but for the most part, I do not like how that course was setting up.
Yeah, it's a different challenge, that's for sure, and I don't want everything to look the same and be the same. So I guess I didn't mind it, but...
Look, I mean, one of the players ended up, I forget who it was. It was the guy that shot 70 all four rounds, but I believe he had a 41 on the front nine and came back with a 29 on the back. I mean, that's
right.
Wildly different. That was in the first round. You think you're on your way out shooting a 41, and the next thing you know, you bring it back in 29. He did something right to shoot a 29.
Well, didn't DJ go from like leading or being close to leading to missing the cut with three bad holes on day two?
Yeah.
248-539-9797. Joe is in Grosseal. And next, hello, Joe.
Hi, guys. Well, along those lines, my champ is also Wyndham Clark for not only overcoming all of his challenges at the past U.S. Open, and he owned his mistakes, but for beating the best golf course in the country. The way they had it set up was impossible. To shoot four under par is a phenomenal feat for him. And my chumps are anybody who is not being honest with themselves, who 2 years ago wouldn't have said, will you take a coach with a program that's in shambles, who in 2 years will win you a national championship, and then he's going to be off and on his way to the NBA, you would have said, sign me up in a heartbeat. So for people that are claiming to be upset with Ward Manuel or Dusty May, you know what? What he did was phenomenal. I didn't see that coming. I didn't see this last move coming either, but just be grateful for what he did and hope that the next guy can do something similar.
Yeah, I mean, look, some of the calls we've gotten, some of the criticisms that are more steeped in about the timing and how the timing really is less than optimal for Michigan. It brought up some really good points, but overall, yeah, I mean, I feel guilty telling people what to do with their lives. And for a Michigan fan, and understandably so, the most important job to you in the world of basketball is the head coach at the University of Michigan. And that should be how you feel. And Michigan State fans and everybody, if you're a fan of a program, it's okay to believe that your program, the head coaching job at your program, is the most important job to you in the world. And then with somebody else who has, it's in it for the profession, you also have to understand that might not be the case for them. They may love the school and the job and all of that, but their dreams might be different than your dreams. And who are we and anyone to tell somebody, you have to have the same agenda as me? And really, that's true in a lot of walks of life. It applies to non-sports issues as well. Now, you can talk about commitment and you can talk about loyalty, but you can also talk about in a contract that has a buyout, that means there's a mechanism in there for someone to leave the job.
Mm-hmm.
And that mechanism is put in place and can get triggered. And both sides agreed to said mechanism. And now a buyout will have to be paid. But that means that both sides agree to a contract where the door is left open for that person to leave.
Well, in this case, the door was left open because he didn't sign.
Well, he was under contract, and they had a new contract that had been verbally agreed to. And by the way, did we confirm in the Brad Galley interview, Bobby listened to the whole thing. Did he say, sorry to cut you off guard there, Bobby, did he say it was for no money, that his contract agreement was for no money?
He didn't explicitly say that. He kind of said in general, if you receive a contract extension, even if there's no money involved, that it's appreciated that the extension happened.
So he didn't say that there was.
This is University of Michigan. You're not winning a national championship and not upping your salary.
People just flipping the radio, and we had a caller say that he said it was for no money. But, you know, that's an interesting way to put it.
Doesn't matter anymore.
No, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Anyway, so people are going to get mad, and that's fine. But would you like it if somebody told you what career advancements you're allowed to take and which ones you're not? It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.